you've been saved by the grace of God, ain't you thankful that you're bound for that city?
Amen.
Yes. So thankful. I know I've said this many a times, but I'm so thankful that this world isn't my final home. As what one of the songs says, it says, I'm just passing through. You know, I'm just here. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a traveler. I'm a foreigner in this land. Oh, but I'm bound for that great city. Oh, and I'm so thankful for what God did for me on that day when He saved my soul. You know, I can go to bed. We were talking about peace in Sunday school, and I've just been dwelling upon that, and I've been thinking about, you know, each and every night when I lay my head at rest, you know, I go to bed with peace, you know, peace of not worrying about tomorrow, peace of whatever may happen, peace of that I know that God will be there, you know, whether I'm here tomorrow or not, whether I'm here in the next few hours or not, there's just this continual peace of knowing that I'm bound for a city that is not of this world. And that's something to praise God for this morning. I'm just so thankful to be here. I don't want to dwell in my preliminary comments this morning, but I'm just so thankful to be here this morning. I wonder if anybody has a praise or a prayer request or anything upon their hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done. Lord help. Yes, I certainly do be prayerful for this, mindful of this prayer request this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their heart? Amen.
I didn't need anything else. I'm thankful that He has shown me that. I thank God that even though they gave me enough that night, that He's given me so much more.
Amen.
And I promise for that city that I'm bound for.
Yeah.
I have so much more to look forward to.
That's right.
He's blessed me so much today and every day of my life.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for what I've already felt this morning. That the Lord is with me.
Amen.
I love the Lord so much.
Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Certainly thankful for this praise this morning. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let's do be prayerful for the lost, and I hope and pray that that our burden for the lost just grows stronger and stronger each and every day, you know. So let's be prayerful for them. But I'm certainly thankful for the praise this morning, and you know, I believe the Bible even tells us that today is the day that the Lord has made. Doesn't say be droopy. Doesn't say be down and out. But it says, let us be glad and rejoice in it. If you're sitting in your pew or if you're sitting in your pew right now and you're saying, well, I have nothing to thank God for, you've got quite a bit to thank God for. He's blessed us with this day. He's blessed us with this time to be here. Blessed us with His presence already. We've got a lot to thank God for. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Anything at all that you just feel like needs to be said or done? Did you say when I step off on that beautiful shore? All right. If anybody has anything upon their hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done. Amen. 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 Sister Rachel, you mind leading us in that? Amen. Amen.
Thief on the cross, I'm saying.
That's right.
The Lord remembering. And the Lord said to him this day.
Amen.
I'm glad that peace he gives to your heart and
men. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Before we continue on, does anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Do you want to keep in mind this morning, this is the Lord's service. You know, I don't try to ask anybody too hard of a thing to do for them, but for them to do. But the one thing I do ask and beg you to do, that if God has moved upon your heart to do something, that you would do it. You know. But if nobody is anything, we'll just go into that which God has placed on our hearts. If you got your Bibles, you want to follow along, I'm going to read out two passages of Scripture this morning. And so just bear with us as we try to do this and proclaim this of what God placed in our heart. But my first passage of Scripture is going to be found in Jeremiah chapter 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 7. Now I'm going to start with verse 1. And if you want to bookmark your Bibles, just to go on and get ahead of the game, so to speak, my next passage of Scripture will come out of the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. So if you want a bookmark so you can follow along. But starting our reading in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 1, says the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways," or correct your ways, "and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend, if ye truly amend or sincerely correct your ways and your doings, if ye sincerely execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." Right now, we'll flip over to the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, starting with the 12th verse. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And the thought, if the Lord will keep it, if not, if he decides to change it, that's okay. We'll just go follow the Lord this morning. But the thought that we've been given the charge to and is upon our hearts this morning is a house of prayer. A house of prayer. So, we just read in your reading of the book of Jeremiah there that the people here that Jeremiah was prophesying to, they had a little issue among them and in their land of Judah. The issue was is that they allowed false prophets to go in among the land and taught whatever God they wanted to teach. And Jeremiah gives a warning that you shouldn't heed to these other gods. And what do we find? They heeded to these other gods, meaning they worshiped them. They started making sacrifices to Baal and all these other gods there in the temple. And we just read in your reading there in verse 11 that he said that you've made it into a den of robbers. Now this morning, as I try to preach to you or proclaim to you what thus says the Lord, in this house that we are in this morning, I know it's just a little sanctuary for us as God's people to meet and worship the Lord. But in this sanctuary, it needs to be a house of prayer. And not just a house of prayer to any other gods, as the people in Jeremiah's time did, but a house of prayer to the one and the only and the true God. And I believe this morning. You know, prayer has just been heavily upon my heart this whole week. And I started to think to myself, you know, I don't even know how to pray myself. You know, all I know is I could just go to God and just tell him what's on my heart. And folks, let me tell you this morning, that's exactly what prayer is going to God and tell him everything that is in the depths of your heart, not hiding a bit of it from him. Besides, what good does it do to try to hide something from somebody who already knows your heart? We read that Jeremiah, that the Lord wanted them to thoroughly amend. He wanted them to sincerely correct their ways that they was going to as they were prophesying about Baal, had sacrificed unto Baal. He was wanting them to correct their ways and the things that they are doing, and not just correct them because God had said so, but to correct them with a sincere heart, a sincere desire of wanting to make it and establish it a house of prayer unto God. And I believe this morning, if we want to truly establish this house as a house of prayer unto God, we've got to do it out of the sincere and true desire from the bottom of our hearts. Not just because the preacher says so. You know, I believe Paul even wrote about that in 1 Corinthians when he talked about how God loves a cheerful giver. You know, he talked about how when people give, they shouldn't give just because they know it's right. They shouldn't give out of the bitterness of the heart, you know, but they should give freely. out of their heart. They should give because they wanted to and not because they were just told to. And folks, I tell you this, I've been thinking about this and I've been praying. And folks, let me tell you, for those of us who are trying to strengthen our walk with God and trying to fill in the gaps that the saints before us have left behind, folks, let me tell you, we need to do it out of a want to of our hearts and not just of an I have to. Because serving God is best when you want to. God gets honor and glory because we wanted to. I was thinking this the other day about how, we've got, there's these people who hold to these ideologies and especially Calvinistic ideologies about how, you've got to forcefully submit yourself to God because when His Spirit calls, He has no choice. And really, the Bible says quite opposite of that, that when God comes a knocking, you have that choice to answer to His call and you have that choice to turn Him away. But sinner friend, I want to let you know, if you turn God away today, this could be your very last opportunity. And saved individual, if you turn God away from what He wants you to do, this could be your very last opportunity. My Father's house is a house of prayer. It's where all of God's people should sincerely get down before God and bow ourselves. And I'm not just saying with your hands and knees, but within the altar of your heart, that you should sincerely bow and that you should talk and pray and make your requests known to God. Because if there's anything that the Bible teaches us that God wants from His people, it's to have and maintain holy communion with Him. Fellowship. And you can't have fellowship if you're not even willing and wanting to talk to Him. I think about this. Sometimes, if you all couldn't tell by now, I'm pretty bad at remembering to call people. I really am. And I apologize if that has offended anybody within the last year of me not calling you, but I'm just really bad at remembering stuff like that. But let me tell you this. I know one who remains on the line consistently, and I know one who doesn't ever forget me, and He won't ever forget you. And folks, let me tell you, the God who knows all things is the very same God who feeds the sparrows and the fowls of the air. And yet He's the same God that says that He thinks of us more highly than those birds and those sparrows, because He wants to feed His sheep. He wants to feed His people. He doesn't want His sheep just wandering around after idol gods and just worshiping them. But yet He wants His sheep to come into His fold, to come into His house of prayer and have communion with Him. Not just on Sundays, but on a continual basis, that we should strive and we should thrive for the communion with our Father. My Father's house needs to be a house of prayer. Jesus, we read in the 21st chapter of Matthew, those people that were there, the Pharisees and all of them, they were disrespecting the house of God. We read that they were they had money changers and tables. They were doing business in the house of God. And I believe this. I'm not saying church business shouldn't be done. I believe that we need to come together for monthly business meetings and exchange our monthly business of everything that's going on in the church. But you know, the business of profitable gain, that needs to be done away with. And that's what Jesus overthrew. It was the fact that they were selling these things. They had the money changers. They had the doves. They were using the house of God as a house of prayer. They were using it for their own wealth and their own good. And you know what he said? He said, you made it into a den of thieves. Now let me tell you this morning, we read in the third chapter of the book of Malachi that God went to his people and he said, you have robbed me. And they asked, well, where have we robbed you at? And he said, in tithes and in offerings. Folks, let me tell you this morning, I believe some of our churches and some of our houses, they've been made into a place of den of thieves and robbers because they rob and steal the honor and glory away from God. They steal it all. About what's best for me. Oh, how bad of an idea that is to have. But what's best for me? Oh, what can fill up my pocketbook? Oh, what can do? What can benefit me? Well, folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we're not called to do what would benefit us. We're called to do what would benefit God. We're called to do what would give him the honor and glory. And the place that it starts out at, that it starts at, is his house. Get away. If you're a thief, if you're a robber, be done away with your stuff. Don't try to steal from God what's his. Don't try to steal the honor. Don't try to steal the glory. Don't make it about me. Don't make it about you. But yet in this service, make it about God. Make it about him. Because let me tell you, how else are these who are lost and sitting among us, how else are they going to see the one that they need to go to for their soul salvation? You know, that's why Jesus spoke of the importance of being lifted up as the brazen serpent there in the wilderness. Because if you recall in the book of Numbers, when they got bitten by, when the children of Israel got bitten by all these snakes, they asked for a remedy. They asked for something to heal them. And God had told Moses to make them a brazen serpent. And when he lifts the brazen serpent, they could look at it and be healed. And folks, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He needs to be lifted up from among the earth so those who are lost and separated from God might look to him and him only. Not me. I can't do anything. You can't do anything. But we can lead them a trail to the one who can save them. But it's got to start with us making God's house a house of prayer. Now, we read in Ezekiel 36 when God had told Ezekiel there about how he can take that stony heart out and give him a new heart. And when he gives him that new heart, he gives him a new spirit. And I tell you, I believe that happens when a person gets saved, that God takes that stony heart, puts a new heart in there, and puts his spirit within them and dwells within them. Folks, I believe that with scripture, and I believe that with all my heart, that if you have been saved by the grace of God, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. Meaning God resides in us. I've heard people say growing up, when you come to church, bring God with you. And folks, you can do exactly that. You can bring him with you because he lives in us. Greater is the one in me than the one that is in the world. But you know, you know, that place where he resides in us, does that not also become a house for him to dwell in? I believe Paul called it a temple. You know, our bodies is the temple because God dwells and resides in there. Folks, our body is the housing of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells and resides in us. That too needs to be a house of prayer for God. Get away with all the thieves. Get away with all the robbers. Get away with the mentality of I want to do what I want to do, and start having the mentality of God, here I am, whatever way you can use me, please use me. You know, I believe prayer is so important, not just within our walk with God, but within His service. It is important because through prayer and through His communication, I believe that He gives His people power and He gives His people His presence. And folks, let me tell you, if there's anything that we need in our churches today, is the power of God to come down and dwell among us. It can happen through prayer. There was a book that I was reading one time about, and it was a bunch of lessons about prayer that preachers had done. And a preacher gave an account of a Welsh minister when they first came over from England and settled in the United States. This preacher, he preached a revival one night. He got done preaching. There were several souls that came down to the altar, and there were several that said they got saved. I don't remember how much, But anyways, there was this young man who saw that tent revival afar off. And so he went to the Welsh minister, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I don't hope I'm not bothering you, but can you just please show me what caused you to have that sermon and what caused you to have that much power behind it?" And he smiled, and he said, "Son, I'll gladly show you." So he went down to his little house by the side, that was about a few minutes away from the tent meeting. Walked inside, he opened up the door, and there was a window right there. And underneath there, he said, "Son, right underneath that window, on the floor, on my hands and knees, communicating with God. That's how I got that message, and that's how He gave me the power." And folks, let me tell you, I believe that we need to trust the power of prayer more than what we do. I think we need to utilize the power of prayer more than we really do. We need to make the Father's house in us and in this building a house of prayer that He dwells and resides in for His people. Solomon in 1 Kings, when he built the temple, Solomon decked that temple out in gold from the inside to the outside. And I believe the Bible even tells us that the very front porch of that temple, it was in gold. This thing was glorious. If you could just imagine how beautiful it might be. But you know, the thing that made that temple so special wasn't the fact of all the gold that he had decorated in it, but it was the fact that the presence of God resided in that temple. That's what was precious. And folks, let me tell you, this building, oh, it's just a building. I know that. Oh, but you know what makes this sanctuary so precious? When we come together and when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we praise God and we pray, we get to feel the presence of God among us. And you cannot have a healthy relationship with God without a healthy prayer life. your house then will become a den of thieves and a den of robbers. Now let me tell you, in I believe it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul, he was finishing out that first letter, that first epistle in Thessalonians, as he was getting ready to depart. He told them, he said, before I depart, you need to rejoice evermore, and you need to pray without ceasing, without stopping. Charles Spurgeon said one time, how do we pray without ceasing? Well, it's like breathing. You just do it naturally. You don't even know that it's happening. Folks, in the same way it needs to be with prayer, that it just comes naturally to us, that it's in our heart all the time, that God continues to reside in us all the time, that nothing else gets in our heart, gets in our mind, except God. Because He wants to dwell with us. Oh, man. I want to see the lost saved more than anything else. I don't know what it is, and I praise God for it. But the last several weeks, my burden just gets so heavier and heavier and heavier. And there's times that it's just hard for me to sleep at night because how heavy the load is. And folks, I tell you this, I praise God for that. I praise God for a burden. I praise God that He accounts me to be a burden bearer. But folks, let me tell you, what good is having a burden for the lost? What good is having a burden is if you don't take that burden to the Lord. If you don't use that burden the way it needs to be used. Oh, if we care for them, we would carry them to the foot of Jesus. Oh, if we care for them, we would pray for them daily, consistently, that somehow, some way, God would intercede with them and deal with them in a way that only He can deal with them. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, joke around or whatnot. I think it's good, and of course, y'all know me. I love to cut up as much as I can. I love to laugh as much as I can. I really do. I love to pick on y'all, and I hope y'all know that's out of love and nothing else. I love it. But there comes a point in time in the Lord's service when we do away with all the cutting up and we get right down to business. And that business is to serve and worship God. And that business is to make this house a house of prayer. After service, well, if you want to cut up, that's perfectly fine. I still do it. I can guarantee you this. I'll go back to some of y'all after service this morning, and I'll cut up with you. I'll poke fun at you, and you'll do the same for me. But there is a time to laugh. There is a time to be joyous, and then there's a time to be serious, and we need to be able to discern between the two. The service of the Lord shouldn't be a laughing matter. Something to take seriously. The house of prayer for God isn't a laughing matter. It's something that needs to be taken care and needs to be taken care and considered seriously. Lost souls isn't a laughing matter. It needs to be taken and dealt with seriously as much as possible. Even if that means you going up to them and asking, hey, are you saved? And I know some people frown on that, but you know what? If you're truly led by the Lord to do it, do it. Because I grew up with that. I walked in the church house and there were some sisters and brothers I did not want them to see me because I knew if they saw me and they would head my direction, and that'd be the very first thing they'd ask is, you made it right with the Lord. You know, it's funny. As a lost sinner, I hated that. Just like I hated being taken to the house of God. But you know, when God saves you and he makes that change in you, you're thankful for those. You're thankful for them that come before you, because it showed that when it came to the salvation of souls and it came to the business of God, they were serious about it. It wasn't a plaything. It wasn't something they could sit around and joke about, but it was a serious matter. Why? Because it was the Father's matter. And folks, if it's the Father's matter, it needs to be a matter to his children. You know, Revelation. Thank you, Lord. In the third chapter of Revelation, Jesus went to the church at Laodicea there. And you know, one of the things that he told the church at Laodicea, and I know that usually we say that, and they're famous for, well, I wish you was cold, I wish you was hot. You know, let me tell you, what Jesus said, from my observation and study of it, they were lukewarm people. They let riches, they let the things of this earth just get to them. They said, now that I'm wealthy, I have no need to be out there to distribute among the poor. I've got this, I've got that. It was a church that had an all about me attitude and not an all about God attitude. Folks, after Jesus pointed that out to me, you know what he said? He said, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I'm waiting for you to open it up. And he that opens it up, I will come in and I will abide with him. I will reside with him. I will have fellowship with him. And I know oftentimes we use that into the preaching of the lost and say, hey, God's knocking on your heart. And don't get me wrong, sinner, pray that God's knocking on your heart. Open up the door. But you know, Jesus was talking to a church. He wasn't talking to lost people. He was talking to a church. He was talking to a people who should have already known him, who should have already been saved by his grace, who should have already had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within them. A people who should have made a public profession of faith. He went to them and said, I stand at your door. I'm knocking. I'm wanting to come in. Why? Why was he outside that door? Because they had so much of this world in their hearts, they didn't have enough room for God. And you know what? Same thing can happen with all of us. If we let the world get to us, we let the riches get to us, we let the wealth get to us. Folks, let me tell you this morning, don't let any of that enter in to the closet of your heart. Jesus said, when you enter into the closet, shut the door. Don't let anything come in. Don't let the world come in. Don't let the foolish pride come in. Don't let lust come in. Don't let greed come in. Only let God in. And God alone. You know, I went to told people on Sunday school, I went to two ordinations yesterday, and I praise God for it. Each and every time I have an opportunity to go to an ordination, I love to just sit in the presbytery. I really do. I love attending them. At the end of ordinations, they want everybody in the presbytery to come around and to sign a ordination certificate of everybody that sat there. I think it's nice. Every now and then, I'll look at my ordination certificate, look at all the brethren that's on there. I think it's nice, don't get me wrong. But what I want to do is, if when my time comes, the Lord calls me home, I want people to be able to look at the back of that certificate, and when they see Elder Micah N. Barber signed on their certificate, I want them to say, that was a man who loved the Lord. That was a man who cared for lost souls. And folks, the same should be said and should want to be said about all of us. When people come around our tombstones and they see our names on it, they ought to stand there and they ought to point and they should say, that was somebody who cared about the work of God. I've got a few brethren, I got a few brothers and sisters down in Tennessee. When I look back at old pictures and I look at their graves, I say that very exact same thing. They cared about God. And they cared about my soul condition. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm just somebody who likes to roam around cemeteries. I don't. But you know what? God has given us, just like how the writer wrote in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, God has given us a great cloud of witnesses that have came before us. And their lives should encourage us to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, no matter what circumstances arise. And then when we lay down the mantle, when the younger generation looks at our lives, they ought to be able to say, that was a great cloud of witness. And they ought to look back and say that it was something to encourage them to keep fighting on for God. I didn't know I was going to say all that. That's okay. Our churches, if you look in history, I'm not trying to sound like a Debbie Downer or nothing this morning. Please don't take that. But if you look throughout history, our churches, they used to be known for amazing increases. Whether it be in people being saved or people joining the church, they used to be known that when they were in the Father's house, something was going to happen. I should say we. And now, especially when you go to ordinations and association meetings, you know what our people are known for? Barely hanging on by a thread. It's sad. It really is. It's sad. Folks, I'm not trying to say this to discourage you. If anything, I want to encourage you. Sister Marilyn wanted to get a time capsule set up within the walls of the new sanctuary. That way, if something was ever done, somebody found something, they could look back the history of the church, everything that we believed. I thought that was an amazing idea. But you know what? You know, I've often thought about this. I also want people to know if there ever comes a point in time that they do something to this sanctuary or whatnot, I want people to be able to look back at the minutes of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church and say, wow, that church was on fire for God. And not just Friendship, I want it for all of our churches. This hill of decreasing and decline that we're on, and the hill of hanging on by a thread, and that's in our congregations and that's in all of our churches, folks, that should not be happening. You know the reason why it is happening, though? Reason number one is because the Father's house is not a house of prayer anymore. It's a house of just coming in on Sunday mornings and going through the motion of things. Of just going to church because I know that's right and it's my duty. It's not respected. God's not respected. We've went to other gods. Greed, lust, pride, materials. And you may say, now preacher, I ain't serving no other god. Let's just be honest. If you put anything before God, you just made an idol God right then and right there. At any point in time, God gets put on the back burner, you just made yourself an idol God. It shouldn't be that way for God's people. The house of den and thieves and robbers. Let's kick that all out. And I'm saying to you, I'm saying this to you from the bottom and most sincere depths of my heart. I didn't think this sermon was going to take the turn that it did, but you know what? I'm just going to follow the Lord. The Father's house, that should be a house of prayer in our sanctuary, in our bodily sanctuary, and in this sanctuary where God resides in, His power needs to be seen and needs to be known and needs to be shown to everybody. There needs to be power. And when people come in, you know what Moses told God in Deuteronomy, I believe it was? He said, God, if you're not going to be with us, then don't let us go in that way. Because how else will everybody know that you have called us to be your people? How else are people going to know that there's a change, there's a difference in us if God's spirit, as God's presence and spirit does not dwell with us and isn't shown? There's a difference between the church, a biblical church, and a worldly institution. And people ought to be able to see that and know that, whether they're lost or they're saved. I've sort of been dreading this past week, but I knew at the end of this sermon, I needed to ask everybody to come in the altar for prayer. You say, now, preacher, why are you dreading that? You see, prayer isn't treated like what it should be. It should be a time of us pouring everything out before God. I was at a church a few years ago. There was a man. He started praying and he got fired up. You could just feel the presence of the Lord. I stopped praying. I know that's bad, but I did. And I started listening to him. And you know what happened? When I was listening to him, his spirit bore witness with my spirit. And I started going, amen. And his prayer then became my prayer. And folks, let me tell you, when God is in it, you'll know it. It will bear witness to you. And whenever we got done with prayer, there were some people in the congregation saying, oh, you shouldn't have prayed that long. It's not respected. God's house isn't respected. Sunday used to be a time when people set everything worldly aside so they could be here. And now, yeah, my wife picks on me all the time. I always worry about how long I preach. Sometimes we'll get in the car, and I'll know how long I preach because when we get in the car, she'll go, well, you preached a short one today. But majority of time it's, well, maybe we need to put that clock back on the wall. I know it's all fun, but you know, I have found throughout my 8 years of preaching, I don't care if a man preaches 2 hours, as long as the Spirit of God's in it, that's all that matters. But there's a lot of people, they want it 25 minutes or less, because I've got worldly things to do. That's why I wanted and felt the need to call everybody to prayer. Because in order for us to see lost souls moving, they need to see us move. In order for them to have the respect for God, they need to see us have respect for God. We talk about them praying and seeking God. Well, folks, they need to see us seeking God. And when I say seek God, I don't mean just pour your heart out a little here and there for 2 minutes and go. But when I say seek God, be like Jacob and say, God, I'm not leaving until I know you have blessed me. We need that. We need the power of God. We need the house to turn itself back to a house of prayer. So folks, as we come into the altar today, whatever is hindering you, whatever room you have in your heart this morning that you have locked God out of it, ask God to empty you. Ask God to get rid of it. If you feel like you've strayed away, ask God to bring you back to that shore. We don't need people straying away in the day and age we live in. We need people to keep on the firing line for God. You could pray at the altar if you want, but I know I am. Most kind, gracious, and all-wise, Heavenly Father God. Oh, God. Father, forgive us of all of our mistakes and transgressions. Lord, forgive me, God. I know that was about the biggest mess I've ever preached, but God, I just pray that you was lifted up. Oh, God, we bow before you. Lord, set that fire in our hearts. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, let this house be established as a house of prayer and a house of worship for the one and the only God. Oh, whatever it is that's in our way today, oh Lord, that you would just get it out. Oh God, I don't know what it will take. Oh God, I don't know what it will cause for lost souls to move. But God, I beg that you would send your spirit upon them. Lord, they would move, Lord. That you would help us to move, God. Lord, just help us today that we could be the church. Lord, you need us to be in the church. You need us to be, Lord. Lord, we bow before you, God. We're weak. We're unworthy. Lord, we know you can use us. Lord, as we see churches across the nation and the world decline and decrease, God. Lord, we know that numbers don't mean anything, but it's your spirit that matters. But God, we see, Lord, how people in the world don't have the respect for your house, God. And we ask, God, that you would just help us, Lord. Serious for your cause. Lord, I know there's so many earthly things and worldly things that has come in and entered in into our hearts. We've turned to these gods, Lord of the earth. We ask, God, that you would just help us, Lord, to get up back on track, God. Lord, that each and every time we meet, that your power could be with us. That the saints would shout for victory.
that they would sing your praise, God, that Christ would be lifted up and exalted. Lord, just help us. There's so many that come to you, God, I worry about their condition. Forgive me of the mess that I've made and the things that I've done. Lord, just help me, God, to be serious about your work. Lord, that my life could be a testament for you. Lord, just help us, God. Oh, Lord. We enjoy these services, God, when your spirit comes by and people move. But Lord, we don't want that to happen once in a while. Lord, we want to see that all the time, and I believe you want to move like that among us all the time, God. Lord, just help us get ourselves out of the way, Lord. Lord, that these lost can see Jesus and not me. Lord, that I can be a castaway, God. Lord, just help. Forgive me, God, of everything.
I wonder if anybody has anything upon their hearts that they feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Amen.
He helped
him, correct? Amen.
And he talked about that part there. He talked about they didn't meet the foe.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people's first impression goes to Satan. You know, a lot of times that foe is ourselves. God's got to help us.
True.
Every morning when we get up, put our pride and our selfishness away to be able to worship Him. Earlier part of the message there, it just came to my mind talking about the way churches used to be, the way we struggle now. And I definitely believe, you know, Satan fights our little churches.
Mm-hmm.
He fights us so hard. We look around in the world and we see these giant congregations or community centers, is what I call them. Satan don't seem to be fighting them too hard.
That's right.
Well, I feel like it's probably because they're not preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why God wants to preach. And so why would Satan fight them so hard? He fights our little churches so hard because we have men willing to stand up there and preach it like God wants to preach. Whether it hurts our feelings or not, he's got to preach what God gives him. And if he's hurting our feelings, then we need to go into the closet and find out why is that hurting my feelings. Because more than likely, it's because we're doing something wrong. Or we're not doing what God told us.
Mm-hmm.
And it also comes down to something we all need to look, think of. I need to start looking at this. And it's a little old saying, and people kind of snicker at it sometimes, but it's true. If everybody in my church were just like me,
mm-hmm.
What kind of church would my church be? And would it even still be? Will it be there for my kids, for my grandkids? If God continues to let this world go on, they need somewhere to go to hear the truth so they can get saved. If we sit down on it and don't work towards it, they won't have anywhere to go.
That's right.
How are they going to know what they've got to do to get right with God if we're not willing to stand up and show them?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this morning. Does anybody else have anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done this morning?
True, and I give his apologies to my church.
Amen. Amen.
That's who our example should be. He's the only one that's perfect.
Amen.
We should pray for you just as much. Because you see all the things that, from each individual that we may not know about each other. Our discouragements, our prayers, and things that help. How you have to hold that load. You take it to God, but how you still, as a human being, you hold that load.
Lord, help. God bless. Certainly thankful for this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done? Anything at all? Anybody just feels like needs to be said or done? Are all hearts and minds free?